Good morning. Today I'm going to take a look at the chapter 11, Seek the Answer Within. And this is in the book Conscious Union with God. Take a moment and become still. Put on your listening ear. Not to me, but to what is revealed to you within. Joel begins with, as you work and study, and above all as you meditate, you will find that the answers to most of the questions that may arise in your mind will be revealed to you in meditation. Entirely different from the knowledge gained through books is that which comes through unfoldment or revelation. Let us assume that we know little or nothing about the Christ. We do know this much, however, that the Christ is not a man. We know that the Christ is not a historical figure. We know that the Christ was not born at a particular time, in a particular country, or of a particular religion. We know that before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham, the Christ is. Even unto the end of the world, the Christ is. The Christ is not a person, but rather a presence. But if anyone tried to heal somebody by means of that explanation, he would very likely fail because such knowledge of the Christ would be merely in the realm of the intellect. Too much of truth is intellectually known. Too little has been realized. And that is the reason for so many failures in healing. Our metaphysical study has convinced many of us, intellectually, that this is a spiritual universe, and that all physical structure, good or bad, healthful or sick, is but an illusory sense of the ever-present harmonious reality. Sometimes it comes as a surprise that our not knowing or affirming this truth does not immediately produce healing. But it must be understood that no change is produced in the visible universe merely through an intellectually perceived truth. Until truth becomes a realized state of consciousness through inner unfoldment, no change in the outer circumstance will appear. So we need inner unfoldment. Spiritual healing is an activity of consciousness, not of the intellect. It is the perception spiritually discerned of that which appears to sight materially. What appears outwardly as a physical condition, good or bad, must be reinterpreted through spiritual awareness until reality is realized in consciousness. Every question and problem of human experience must be taken into the depths of consciousness in meditation until the intuitive sense has been awakened and has revealed to us the truth of being, about which we heretofore have had only an illusory sense or finite concept. Now that's something. We can have an illusory sense of the truth of being. So if you have an intellectual understanding of the truth of being, you have an illusory sense and not the reality. To help you develop a true knowledge of the Christ, take the term the Christ into your meditation, beginning with a very humble statement. I know so little about this. Father, reveal it to me. Close your eyes. Keep your attention centered on the Christ. Every time your mind tries to wander, gently bring it back. Bring your thought back. Bring your attention back. At the same time, your ear is open. And while your ear is attuned and listening, your attention is centered on the Christ. This, of course, is how he explained meditation in his book, The Art of Meditation. If you will do this, whether it happens the first, second, third, or 19th time, ultimately you will catch the vision of the real meaning of the Christ, a meaning that you will never quite be able to explain to anyone else. But you yourself will know it, because the Christ will be an actual presence in your consciousness. It will be a power, an influence, a being, yet it will be something that you cannot define. So you can experience the Christ, but you cannot understand it. You cannot define it. No matter what you would say about the Christ, it would not quite be it. And so the rest of the knowledge that you would need would have to unfold from within you. You will probably discover that you do not really know what God is. True, you may have had little glimpses here and there, but the full and complete unfoldment or revelation must come from within. And when that comes, you will be living in an entirely different world from what you are at this moment. I just can't believe these sentences. When the full, complete unfoldment of what God is comes within you, you will be living in an entirely different world. My kingdom. Take another term, light. Whatever you may think you know as to the meaning of the phrase, the light of the world, there's much more to be known, and this will come to you through taking the word light into your meditation. Very few know what soul really means. So take that word, soul, and turn to the Father humbly. Reveal this to me. Give me light on the soul. Then, with the listening ear, that state of receptivity, sooner or later, a day, a week, a month, a year, you will begin to receive impartations or spiritual awareness on the subject of soul. And I made a note here in the margin. Impartations do not come from words, thoughts, statements, or scriptures. Only after all this has passed are you silent. Then can you receive impartations. In our unillumined state of consciousness, we thought of Jesus as the Christ. But through illumination, we understand the Christ to be the Spirit of God. In our first few years of metaphysical study, we learned that prayer is not asking God to give us sunny weather on the day we want to have a picnic, nor is it asking God to take away our sins or our diseases. When we have learned enough to know that prayer is an inner realization of our present spiritual perfection, we have become an illumined consciousness, or at least some degree of illumined consciousness. Prayer is not what you think, not what you say, not what you feel. Prayer is the impartations that come to you. So the question is, who prays? When you get out of the way, when you cease trying, when you stand stock still, listen. Something happens. Someone not human prays within you, and you receive it as an impartation. And that's called realization. Then we come to the point where we learn to take into our meditation any word or term on which we are seeking light. We do not have to go to a teacher, nor do we have to go to a church. All that we have to do now is to take some particular word or term or idea into our own consciousness, and there, in a state of expectancy, wait for the light to shine on it and reveal its meaning to us. Then our friends may say, something has happened to you. You have a different look in your eye, or you look healthier. But that is the only change that they notice. The unillumined state of consciousness is being replaced by an illumined state of consciousness, and of course that's putting on immortality. At the same time, nothing has changed in the world. It has not become a better world, but our sense of the world has improved. This world is God's world, and it has always been spiritual and perfect. The illumination that has come to us does not improve the world. It only improves our vision of the world, so that we begin to see it more nearly as it really is. And so how do I awaken from this world, the dream, and begin to see this world reality? Because we're standing in the perfect finished kingdom, but we're seeing this world with good and bad, evil, wars, sickness, limitation, lack, and sometimes abundance, health, good. It's still the same illusion, because it can change back and forth. But the reality can never change. It's the temple not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And illumined consciousness is your consciousness when it has lost some of its erroneous religious or mental teachings, and you have come to the point where you can look out on the world and say, why, it's beautiful. And now I realize that it always has been beautiful. The light is within my own vision. Therefore, I am able to see the world through the lighted consciousness, through the illumined consciousness which I now am. And that illumined consciousness is the mind that was in Christ Jesus. This mind is no other mind than your own. It is your own mind, but your own mind after it has lost the love of error, the hate of error, and the fear of error. It is not anything mysterious that you contact or get at one with. It is your own mind after it has received some degree of illumination or these impartations. The mind that was in Christ Jesus is the one universal spiritual mind, infinite and eternal. As you individually receive illumination, that which we call your ignorance is dispelled. And that mind which was in Christ Jesus is now revealed as your very own mind. So this is how we put off mortality and put on immortality, isn't it? When a problem comes to you, your own or that of a patient or friend, turn within. Father, this problem or person has come to me. Let me have light. And then forget the person, forget the problem. Remember that you are not looking for a solution to the problem. You're only turning to the Father for light on that subject. Because the problem is not out in the world. The problem is a belief in your own thought and ignorance of what God or the Christ is. And so in your meditation, you are not seeking something or somebody's good health, but you are seeking the truth about health, harmony, peace, and joy. Remember, do not dwell on a problem as if you were going to work on it. The problem has been presented to you, but now drop it. When you close your eyes and go within, do not take the person or the problem with you. Do not take your ignorance into your meditation. Keep your thought on the light or the truth, and let that light dawn. Soon you will feel a stirring, a movement, that click, or you will receive a specific answer, and you will know it is done. And that's all there is to it. We do that and we don't need books anymore. Let me return for a moment in my illustration of Lake Erie. I think Joel must have gone up to see Niagara Falls. And while he was standing there looking at the splendor of it, he had this revelation from within. As long as I believe that I am Niagara Falls, and that that is all there is to me, I keep drawing upon it and using it up, living in and of and through Niagara Falls, totally unaware of the abundance of Lake Erie in back of me. But through my illumined consciousness, I now learn that Lake Erie is really the substance and the totality and the infinity of Niagara Falls. Just so, before the light of truth dawned, I believed that the visible me was all there was to me, and that I drew on my own mental powers, on my own experience and education. For my strength, I drew on my muscles, or the amount of my sleep, and on the food that I ate. And I tried not to use up more strength than I had taken in as calories and vitamins. But after awakening to my true identity, I know that this really is not all of me. It is the least part of me. Back of me is an infinite ocean called God. I am in and of that tremendous ocean. As a matter of fact, I am that place where the whole ocean is going to flow through and as. Close your eyes. Can you not feel that infinite ocean? That omnipresence? Right here, upon you, right now, flowing through and as you. Every time we close our eyes in meditation, or keep them open, and open our inner ear to hear the still small voice, we place ourselves in a state of receptivity. Each time we do that, we are acknowledging that there is a whole ocean of intelligence, a whole ocean of life, an ocean of love, an ocean of truth, and we are opening our consciousness to that inflow. Just by opening our ear, we can hear the full voice of God. By opening our consciousness, we have the guidance and direction of God available to us. We have all the health and strength and longevity, immortality, eternality, peace, joy, power, dominion. Everything that belongs to God now belongs to us because we have opened our consciousness to its inflow. Now you've read or heard, and so have I. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It might be said this way: my manifestation, thou art ever inside of me. All that I have is flowing through thee. God and God's manifestation are one. But how different it is from reading when we turn within and have it imparted to us, so it comes as an inner realization. Our existence must be as a state of receptivity, actually continually opening consciousness and maintaining our consciousness open for it to come through. All right, so is your existence a state of receptivity to that voice within, to those impartations, to the presence, to the Christ? Well, it should be. Do not limit it. Do not finitize it. Do not think it has to come through a perfect person or through a certain book or even through a particular teaching. If you will just keep your consciousness open, there will be a new message, a new flow, continually. This, of course, is the secret of the infinite way. This is true not only of books, but of your body. There is no reason why the body should ever lose its vitality and vigor. If it does deteriorate, it is for the same reason that Niagara Falls would ultimately dry up if there were no Lake Erie behind it. If Niagara Falls did not draw upon Lake Erie, it could not last very long. So also, if you and I began using all our knowledge and physical strength without drawing upon our source, we would soon be entirely depleted. He says, there must come a time when we recognize the truth of Jesus' statement, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The word is forever and always proceeding out of the mouth of God. But are we listening? Or are we looking in a book to see what it says on some particular page? God, being infinite, must be infinite in expression, and God, being eternal, must be eternally unfolding. Do not limit the infinity of God or the eternality of God or the omnipresence of God. God is infinitely, eternally, and omnipresently with you. And an illumined treatment, once given, operates throughout the rest of time until its work is done. There is no such thing as a treatment ever stopping, because a correct treatment is the Word of God. Now, God is eternal, and so when that Word is revealed within you, when you receive an impartation from that inner, still small voice, that word is eternal. My words shall not pass away. It can't, because it's eternal. And that's the beauty of this. When you have an impartation, a revelation, a realization within you, and you catch it, oh, thank you, Father. Now I see. That impartation goes on and on forever. And 10 lifetimes from now, you may be sitting having lunch, and the realization dawns on you, because it never left. It's a part of your consciousness, and it's eternal. If you ever hear the Word of God, rest assured that that Word of God will continue to act until your healing takes place. Whether you receive that healing that minute, the next day, or the next year, you do not need a fresh treatment every day. The only reason you need a different treatment or a new one or a special one every day is that what you considered a treatment was not actually a treatment. It was really only your very finite idea of a treatment, probably only some statement of truth, and that's no treatment at all. Because the treatment is not what you say, it's not what you think. The treatment is that which you receive as an impartation. That which you receive within yourself. A treatment is only complete when you have finished your part of the treatment. listened to the still small voice and received an answer. That is a full and complete treatment. That is the Word of God made flesh. There's no such thing as the Word of God dangling in the air. The Word of God must be made flesh. It must dwell among us. Once you receive an answering click, that inner movement, that treatment will operate in your consciousness until it breaks down the ignorance and reveals an illumined sense of being. So it'll go on and on and on, and my word shall not return unto me void. You get up in the middle of the night, you walk, maybe stumble to the bathroom, you hit the switch, the light comes on, the darkness disappears. You go within, you have a meditation, you receive the word, nothing feels changed. And yet, in a day, a week, a month, even a year, it returns. You are healed. You experience the Word made flesh. Supply appears, a companion. In one way or another, the Word takes form. Spiritual healing is accomplished only when there is no resistance in the healer's thought to the condition or the person. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him. In much healing work, where use is made of denials and affirmations, there is immediately set up a resistance to error. Remember, resist not means you don't take the problem or the person or the condition into your meditation, and you don't grab up some instrument to hit it over the head with. You don't grab up some denial. This isn't real. This is an illusion. This is nothingness. This is impersonal. And you don't grab up an affirmation to hit it over the head with. Only God is here. God is the only presence. The Christ is on the scene. The presence is here. You don't do either one of those. You close your eyes. You turn within. You can say, I'm not bringing the problem with me. I'm dropping that. Now, Father, thy light. Something simple so you can get it over with and know that you're not relying on what you just thought. You're relying on that movement which comes to you when you take no thought. And so after you utter whatever you utter, be still. This is the real treatment. And this treatment begins to flow into you from God, from Christ, from that presence at the center of your consciousness, your being. You receive the treatment. You don't give it. In spiritual healing, recognize that error does not exist as a reality. No matter in what form it appears, sin, disease, lack, or limitation, when the problem is presented to you, do not resist it. Do not deny it or affirm it. Take the attitude of non-resistance, a divine indifference. Not putting up a mental wall against it, not trying to overcome it, not trying to deny it. Let your attitude be one of freedom from fear, a realization that you do not have to resist a mirage. Now, when someone asks you for help, instead of reacting with, "What do I think about this? What do I know? It isn't true. It isn't real." Try to understand what I mean when I tell you to smile, because you know that you are being presented with a mirage, and that all you have to do is to recognize that it is a mirage. Christ consciousness does not resist error. It does not recognize error as a power. Even when walking on the water, Jesus did not accept the law of physics, which states that a body of greater density than water must sink. No. I made a talk about that one time called, "What if they're wrong? What if the physicists, the scientists, are wrong? What if the doctors, the surgeons are wrong? What if the teachers, the professors are wrong? What if the good people, the bad people are both wrong? What if they're wrong? What can you do about it? You can be taught of God. They shall all be taught of God." That's you, that's me, that's us. We should be taught of God by turning within with that, what he calls a listening ear. Turn within. Put on your spiritual awareness. Come into the awareness of something being imparted to you very quietly, in a still small voice. "I am here. I am within you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Greater is the still small voice than the human mind. Greater is the still small voice than the doctors, the lawyers, the politicians, the physicists. Spiritual consciousness does not accept in thought the belief of any error existing as a presence or as a power. It looks at any phase or form of error in much the same way as you might look at a moving picture. Now, if you've watched action movies and you've seen Bruce Willis or Jason Statham or maybe John Wayne in the older movies get shot, you know it's just a movie. You walk out of the theater smiling. Nobody got hurt. And so what's he saying here? You're being presented with an image, a mirage. And so you look on any phase of error or form of error in much the same way as you might look at a movie. So, that may help you there. If you sit down to meditate, someone has just called, "I wrecked my car. I'm sitting here with my cell phone. My leg is badly hurt." You sit down. I will help you. You sit down. This is a movie. Drop it. You sit back, relaxed, knowing all the time it's just a movie, and that you are watching the unfoldment of a bit of fiction before your eyes. In your human experience, you take much the same attitude, not criticizing, judging, condemning, or feeling sorry for the underdog, or for a sick or sinning person, not giving praise to those you think are good, recognizing all good as coming from God. When you reach that state of consciousness, in which every call for help arouses in you only the one response, "What can I do about a mirage?" Then you will begin to see real spiritual healing, Christ healing, the same type of healing as was done by Jesus and the disciples. Healing without taking thought, without the use of power to overcome any evil. When that state of consciousness is achieved, you are at the place where every call for help rouses in you nothing more and nothing less than a, "What can I do about a mirage?" It's fantastic to think that he did that sometimes with 300 cases of the flu in one day while he was in Boston. 300! And they hit up on his consciousness of Christ and melted and melted and melted. As we go into the higher revelations of the Master, we shall find that it is not necessary to voice thoughts, to use mental might or physical power. We learn that there is within us a divine presence, an infinite power, which does much more for us than we can do for ourselves, and which operates more effectively, most effectively, in silence. When a practitioner can arrive in his own consciousness at a place of absolute silence, at a place where he is completely a listening ear, in that flash, it need only last one blink of an eye. Anything that ever was wrong on earth can be healed. The silence, the unexpressed thought, the real power, this tremendous energy is in that thing we call the Christ. We see the effect of it, but never it itself. We can see what happens after we receive the word, the impartation, the Christ. What did you think you were receiving? It is the Christ. The very power that operates in the silence of the seed, when you plant a seed in the ground, is the power that operates in the silence of our consciousness. And when we attain that degree of silence, we have attained illumination. That's all there is to illumination, silence. And so, as we've said so often, silence is not an absence of sound. Silence is an absence of self. How do you become illumined? Step aside and listen. develop the ability to feel this inner stirring. Develop the ability to listen within. Develop the ability to be in tune with that voice which is always uttering. As we learn to depend on this infinite, invisible, we find things happening in our experience that we had not planned. Beautiful things, harmonious and helpful things. And as we become aware of these experiences, we instinctively, intuitively recognize them as the result of this power, of this unseen, infinite, invisible, which we call the Christ, the very presence of God. Now, what does God have to give you? Can God give you supply, money, a house, a car? Can God give you a companion? Can God give you a new leg, a new lung? Can God give you a new mind? What has God to give you? God has one thing to give you. These impartations. This power. This unseen, infinite, invisible. This Christ. This presence of God. This is what God has to give you. Your mind interprets it and says, wow, today I got an unexpected check in the mail. It must be God's grace. No, God's grace was the impartation you received. This check is the interpretation of your mind. So we know that that is operating in us and through us and for us, although at first it is difficult to place a full reliance on it. It is like that first time when we try to bring out a healing without relying on some thought or some good thinking. That first moment when we expect to see something happen without taking thought is similar to falling into space with nothing to hold one up because there is not a thought to which we can cling. Now, my first spiritual teacher told me so many years ago, you will reach the place where you come to the edge of a cliff and the inner voice will say, step off. And you will pause and you'll say, well, the voice said it, and you will take a step. Hey, another step. Wow, another step. I'm walking. Joel says here, in that moment comes the first tangible proof that underneath are the everlasting arms. Tangible proof. When you no longer have a reliance on a thought, suddenly you begin to feel something as tangible as the everlasting arms. I wonder if you really know that the everlasting arms are an actuality, that there really is such a thing, which even though it cannot be seen or heard, can literally be felt in its invisibility. Once you have had that first experience of being without the aid of a person or a thought, and you have felt something pick you up, From then on, in increasing measure, you lean back on the infinite invisible. You lean back. There is an invisible force acting on the inner plane, attracting to us the people and experiences necessary to our unfoldment. And all this happens without our taking thought, without planning it that way. We contact the infinite invisible when we touch that place in consciousness which we call God or the Christ, even without taking any thought for tomorrow or for the things of tomorrow. We touch the center, which in its infinite and invisible way is really the consciousness of all mankind. It operates on that unseen level to draw to us the harmonies of existence, whether in the form of persons, places, things, circumstances, or conditions. And it amazes me how it works. Sometimes the very person that you needed suddenly moves to your area after having lived a long time in, let's say, Iran, and they move over here to the United States, and they become legal, and they get employment, maybe go to school. You meet them, and there's something about them. They have something, and you know it. You can feel it when you're around them. Suddenly, the right person has come into your life experience. And the planning, the intimate detail that's worked out years in advance is so amazing. What we are going to learn now is how to stop taking thought for the things of life, how to dwell in this infinite invisible, and realize that, like the central office of the telephone company, it can connect us with anything anywhere in the world necessary to our unfoldment. All we have to do is be in touch with God, the center of our being. It knows, it draws, it contacts. A person I knew for 20 years or more had studied metaphysics and had one problem of health that seemed to be more than he could solve. He could not meet it, nor could it be met for him, or at least it was not. Yet here he was, 20 years on the upward path, probably knowing more metaphysics than 9 out of 10 people, and yet not being quite able to make his demonstration. Finally, he accepted the idea of passing. But within a few hours after the passing, he caught the vision. So much materiality had been done away with that he saw the fullness of the light and was able to give it back to us over here. Life is omnipresent. When we come to the place where the infinite invisible becomes a real part of our existence, when we come to the place where we actually see it operate in our experience, not its operation, but the effect of its operation, when each day we have some proof that something is going on in our experience which we cannot account for humanly, something of a good nature, and when we get to the place where we can turn to that infinite invisible for guidance, direction, advice, health, and strength, then we come into a state of consciousness which transcends the limitations of time and space. Now, these things just fall from his lips, and if you're not paying attention, you just read right over them. Yeah, that's nice. That was pretty neat. But when you look at each word, each paragraph, here he's talking about a man that passed on, couldn't make his demonstration of health or whatever it was. He says, within a few hours after the passing, he caught the vision and was able to give it back to us over here. Now that should cause you to go, wait a minute, what? Yes. He was able to receive not only from God, he was able to receive from this friend who had passed the light that his friend had received. Then again, when you come to the place where you actually see the effect of this Christ within, then you come into a state of consciousness which transcends the limitations of time and space. Okay? So, your physics, you overcome time and space. If wherever I am, God is, and wherever God is, I am, and God is omnipresent, and God is everywhere and every when, once you are resting in it, you are outside of time and space. You are in something called a temple, eternal, in the heavens. Life is eternal, and that life manifests itself eternally as what we call our individual experience. If you accept that as true, you must also accept the truth that life never began. You may think your individual life began in 1900, 1890, 1880, but it never did. True, you may have become aware of it at that particular time, and that awareness constitutes your present experience, but as you meditate now, you are going to learn the true meaning of immortality. You are going to learn that long before you became consciously aware of this world, you were already alive, living fruitfully and harmoniously, just as you will live eternally and immortally after what is called the passing from this phase of existence. Such a knowledge reveals to us the spiritual laws that govern human experience, laws which did not begin to operate for us on what we call our birthday, and laws which we will realize as continuing to operate in our experience should we ever consent to the experience of passing. Those of you who have been led to the reading of this book have found your way to the infinite way, have already begun to have the state of consciousness where your entire attention is centered on whether you have a few, I think they left a word out. Your entire attention is not centered on whether you have a few more or a few less dollars, or whether you have a few days more or a few less of pain, to where your interest is in the laws of God. In order fully to understand these laws, you have to begin with the understanding that because you are these laws, and the very activity of these laws, you have never begun and you will never end. Through that understanding, you will find your rightful spiritual place. Now there he does it again. The laws of God. You are these laws. He just worked it right there in the middle of the paragraph. You are the laws of God. Through the infinite invisible, all the experiences and persons and books and understanding and knowledge necessary to your unfoldment will be drawn to you. The only reason I am discussing immortality is so that when you go into your meditation, you do not limit yourself to something you already understand humanly. Turn within and ask for a revelation of the laws of God, those laws which were before Abraham, and which you are, and which will be until the end of the world. You will then begin to understand yourself and your place in God's scheme. No matter how happy and how harmonious your human experiences may be, could that really be God's plan for His creation? No. Turn within and meditate on your individual place in God's plan. The only legitimate answer can come from within your own being. It concerns your place in that scheme. It concerns your place in life. Nobody out here in the outer world will ever find his spiritual place unless he has it revealed to him from within, unless he receives from within the impulse that gradually leads him to that place, which of course is right here. Thank you for joining me for this chapter. And please turn within. Develop this listening ear. Develop the capacity to receive impartations, to feel the inner movement, to hear the still small voice. This is what you came here for. Find it. Live by way of it. Let it live in you. And God bless. Blessings eternally.